started.
Why it's doing that.
Hey, Nader.
Welcome this meeting in. Is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric on public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate matter. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member of the agency of the law enforcement agency or a public agency of the federal, state, county, city, township, agencies present, is there any response to this for the first time? This meeting is private. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you.
Yes, without the echo.
Yes,
there is an echo.
This meeting is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in the appropriate matter. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or an agency of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there anyone, any response to this for a second time? This meeting is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member of or agency of any law enforcement agency or public agency of the federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there any response for the third time? Anyone who is here under false pretense, anyone who is working for any foreign government, including the territorial United States or the municipal United States, anyone who is being paid or coerced to be here must fully disclose their presence and purpose now or leave the premises or conference call. If they subsequently show up as federal witnesses, they are discredited for failure to disclose. Okay. The echo is coming from Key. See, I just muted Key. See, it echoes. And I mute Key, and it don't echo. So anyway, we're going to get started here. I'm going to share my screen. You guys see my screen? It's before we actually really get going, I'm going to unmute Keith, and if Keith can do a prayer, we'd appreciate that.
Well, if it's echoing with you, it's going to sound like it's coming from a place far, far away.
It only echoes me, not you.
Okay. Abba, Father, we just thank you right now for this time, Lord, that you set aside for us to have a meeting. And we're just grateful for all of your wonderful works that we do see in our lives, and even those especially that we don't see, that you work in our behalf. We just thank you, Father, with all of our heart for the greatest gift ever given in your precious Son, Yahshua. We love you, Father, with all of our heart. Again, we just pray right now that you would give us a special portion of your anointing and your precious Holy Spirit to help us do what we need to do, and help Brother Rocky to guide us through the education he wants to guide us through today. We just pray that we have eyes to see and ears to hear. We say these things in the precious name of Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. So be it.
So be it.
So be it.
Yeah, I'm muting Keith so he can't hear it. Anyway, if you're looking on the screen now, you'll see on the left-hand side there's a book there. And the book is For All the Jural Assemblies, and it's by Anna Barnwright. This is the book, the original one that Anna did for the Jural Assemblies on creating them. And what I did, instead of having people buy this book, I went online and I found the book online as a video. So that you can just listen to it. And you don't have to have the book. And you look on the right-hand side, that is the same book. And it says in the deal, For All the Jural Assemblies, Part 1 by Anna Barnwright. Okay? So, this was the original documents that she did for this. There's been other ones, you know, another document that came out. It actually mimics this book a lot, but there were some changes in it. And there's some pieces in this book that I want to go over. Hang on a minute, let me find it. Yeah. Let's go to this part here. Oops, that was it. Okay, this part of the book tells you there's three or four different things for you to become, to be able to be in the General Assembly. One of them is you have to declare your paperwork, you know, and be one of the people of the county of your country, right? It says you must record your choice for the land recording office and, you know, your trade name.
Entry 2, you must record your choice with a land recording office formally reconveying your trade name to the land and soil of your state. 3, you must accept the rights, responsibilities, and duties of a state citizen when you act as a juror or in any other public office of the Jural Assembly. 4, you must meet the basic requirements and thereby establish standing to act in the capacity of one of the people of your state. Please note that land and soil are inextricably connected. Soil is defined as the first 6 inches, the very top layer, of the land, while land is all the underlying strata. I am often asked, why can't people...
Okay, this part is the part I first wanted to talk about. And basically, back in the day when we first built our government, whatever, colored people and women wasn't allowed to organize or be in the General Assembly. Now, there was a vote that went out to allow that to happen because, you know, in our society today, you know, colored people and women are the same status as everybody else. And what I wanted to, basically what it goes through, and it basically it says that we would have to do an election, and I think the election was already done to allow that to happen. But if we want to, what we can do is we can get 12 men, that's the Jural Assembly, it needs to be 12 people, and we can get 12 men, and then we can do an election and vote this out, and, you know, that way it'll be on our records. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, can I speak on this quickly? Because I believe, sure. If I'm not incorrect, that Anna did speak on this, and yeah. So when they're originally doing the research about this, the assemblies, they are confused of which assembly they're actually doing the research on. And so this whole color and women thing was only for the district assembly, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm pretty sure she said something along the lines of it wasn't for the actual out-state assemblies this rule was for, and that's why they took that out. Maybe Fitu might remember this because she's pretty savvy on it, but I'm almost certain, brother, so I yield on that.
Go ahead, Fitu.
Yes, I'm agreeing with what Aaron has said, is saying right now. It's already done. He stated that a while back.
This was really, if you see where it says the initial Jural Assembly, we're assembly. The district is a society, not assembly. And it was originally in the assembly, but I think there was already a vote done, and that's the reason why they threw it out. That to vote to allow the women and colored people in. So, I mean, I was just making a comment that if we wanted to make sure, all we have to do is get 12 men that are in the Jural Assembly, which is the people that actually has done their paperwork. And one of the pieces of paper, here, let me, hang on a minute here. I got... Let me. This one here was the one for Clark County. We have one for the state. And then I also created one. Hang on here. And this one is for the Union State. So there's three of these different documents, depending on which General Assembly you want to be in. You know, if the state one is, if you filled out this, and we're going to go over this, is in the book too. I think it was on chapter 7 or 8 where it talks about this wording in here. Basically, just about everybody I know that was in Clark County, if you did your 928s, we had you actually do one of these papers. Aaron, can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think you have all the paperwork.
Yeah, Rocky. So I have all the ones to date. The last couple I may have missed out on this just because I've been so busy with other different things. But so I have the stack of basically all this. But it was more for the state more than just the county. But you know, I don't see that being very difficult to do the county one as well. Yeah, so that's where we're currently at. But I do have a whole stack of those that I inherited from Craig. I'll have to dig them up. You know, if you want, I can dig them up now and have a look. I yield.
But what do you think about on the new LRO we're doing is put an item in there for this paperwork too to show on the record on the LRO that you actually filled it out?
Definitely. Yep. That's a no-brainer, of course. Yep.
I'm going to add that on there. So that way it'll be one of the documents that you can do and you can put it on your account. So I think because if you go through the book, what it talks about is, you know, that you do this paperwork. Let me see if I can get to the part. Hang on a minute here. Got to remember where it's talking about. Let me go back to I'm going to zoom this out so I can see the pages here. You'll see on my right-hand side, it has each chapter here.
For all the general assemblies.
Hang on. I don't want to play. But in the General Assembly, what has to happen is we have to have a person, a man or woman that is actually going to run the General Assembly and actually, you know, call the General Assembly. And let me get this off of here. See if I can find.
For all the General Assemblies, Part 4.
Hang on. The plan. This was the original qualifications here. They had to be at least 21, white, males. That's been changed, those two parts. Landowners. Landowner means your physical body, right? That is a landowner. And then this is the basically stating that to make them feel that we're, I think that was already been done. But again, like if we want to, we can do it, do another vote on it. Let me get to the, stop on that. So anyway, the mission statement,
the journalist.
Hang on. Okay, this part here where it talks about the membership agreement, I'll go back to here. She's using Wisconsin as a deal, and this is the member agreement, and that's what I brought up. That was the member agreement. So when I pull up one of those, we'll do the Clark County one so you can see. But this part up here where it says the mission statement of the Clark County, Nevada General Assembly, the one Aaron was talking about, it says Clark County, it says the state of Nevada General Assembly. And this mission part is this first part she talks about in here. So if you go to chapter 5 in the book, pretty sure this is 5. Yeah. Anyway, chapter 5, it'll explain to you, and what you can do is almost word for word read this mission statement, and then after that will be the, you know, this agreement part of it is also in chapter 5. And that basically explains where we got this document from, where it was created from, was actually from this book and from the General Assembly handbook, where Anna was saying these are the words that you have to use basically to declare our General Assemblies, right? And for you to accept to be in the General Assembly, you would fill out one of these pieces of paper, which, I, like I said, in Clark County, I know the state, I don't know how many of those we filled out. We did fill out the form that is for the state, but we actually did that in Clark County too. I would suggest not doing the Clark County one anymore, but do the Union State one and the state one that is for overall. And just in case if you needed to be in the grand jury or in the state court, you would have your General Assembly filled out. And then the other parts, see this one here where it says, this one here, let me stop this. This is the mission statement at the bottom. That was the second part of that form. So it's in part 5. There were several things I wanted to talk about, but I should have bookmarked them all. Anyway, in the first parts of this book, she talks about there's two kinds of General Assemblies. Well, there's one for the de facto and one for us. Ours is called an assembly. Theirs is called a society. So if you want to be building our General Assembly, you would come to and do the forms here on this one for the General Assembly, not the General Society. The General Society is the de facto government, and we want to stay out of that as much as we can. We don't want to go back and forth. That's one of the things that comes up as being a dual citizen. If you're still have your voter registration done in the other system, that makes you a dual citizen, and then that also keeps you from work or being on the General Assembly, because you can't be on you can't try cases and be in their system voting too. And that's one of the things that are in this first part of the book. The other portions of it, hang on here. I wish I would have been more prepared. Sorry, people. Is there any people that are have any questions about what the General Assembly is, what we are trying to form here? Because the General Assembly is our courts. That is, it's basically you have, like, Tamara created that PDF. Here, let me pull that up. I know where that's at. So you can see that, the chart. This here's the chart that we're trying to fill up, okay? And in the book, the first part of the book, what it talks about, see if I can see it in here.
You don't have to.
Actually, she didn't put it in here, Tamara. Anyway, you have a person that's the head of the General Assembly. So I think it's called a General Secretary. Aaron, do you know offhand, or Tamara, are you here? Tamara?
I'm here.
Do you remember the the secretary, the person over the Jural Assembly that organizes it?
We have, let me check over here.
I don't see on your this paper I got, this document. I didn't get your other ones.
Yeah, I got the other ones in front of me. So the assembly, we have the veteran roles, we have the chairman, the recording secretary, the treasurer, the county, the ombudsman. The Jural Assembly, we have the justice of the peace, county clerk, record keeper, court recorder, ombudsman, coroner, court venue, litigation committee, oversight committee.
Okay, the court venue, the person that runs the court venue, they're the ones that organizes the court cases, the people that will be in the as a juror. So they would be contacting you, whatever, see if you can set on the jury for whatever court it is. That's the person that does the court venue. They're ones that organize all of the different courts, cases that are going to be coming up, and who's going to be the juror in that, and the justice of the peace, and schedule the dates and all that kind of stuff. So that in the first part of this book, it actually talks about that. I wish I would have bookmarked it.
Sure, I believe that's the court clerk.
It's a what now?
The court clerk sets the venue of the court cases, and they determine where a case belongs, in which jurisdiction. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. That's, you said the court clerk?
The court clerk, yes.
Yeah, but there's also a, with the court clerk, there's a person, the court clerk basically is the one that is filing all the paperwork into the court, but there's the...
there's a recorder. There is a assembly secretary, Jural Assembly secretary as well. So there's a secretary, there's a court clerk, and a recorder.
Right, okay. I think it's the Jural secretary that is organizing everything, and then they give it to the court clerk. The court clerk then records it into the system and establishes the dates and all that. But they already know who the people are because of the Jural secretary.
The Jural Assembly secretary is exactly the same as the General Assembly. It's just the Jural Assembly.
Right. But they're like the chair of the...
Yeah.
See if I can find... not seeing it.
For all the jurists,
I wish I would have bookmarked all this. So I don't want to go through and play all this. I want you guys to watch these. This is the whole book. And what it does is it goes from one chapter to the next, and it just keeps playing until you stop it. Really good book. It's got a lot of good information. It explains what it is that we need to do. That's why we need to get our, you know, we got to get our, we have a coroner, we have, let me pull up that document again. We have a majority of the pieces in here. This is not giving me. The pieces that I needed. See if I have. But anyway, we got to get, like, we have this sheriff and the deputies. We have all the people that filled out their Jural Assembly documents. And we have, I think we have the clerks. I need to come up with some software to record all of our documents. And we have a lot of our documents already. I will actually put those out there again. We started to do a training on the documents at one time, and it seemed like most of the people wasn't interested. But I'll put them out there so you can go through them and we can actually correct those. And again, actually in the meeting agenda thing, let's see what I put out there. Yeah, I put the Clark County membership agreement, the Union State one, and I think those are the ones I put out there right now. There's some of the things here I want to talk about, but we'll do that later. But as people watch that video, does anybody have any questions about any parts of that book that they watched or listened to? That they have any questions about what was in it or what it said? Okay. Anyway, the reason why we're going to go through this whole book, and the reason why we're going through it because I feel that here pretty soon we're going to have to be running our courts and our jurors. We're going to actually bring our government up, and we're going to need to understand the procedures and what we need to do, the parts that we need to build. On the next meeting next week, I'll be more organized on the pieces out of the book that we really need to go over. I just can't believe that I forgot.
For all the jurists.
Here's the part where it talks about, you see right here, if you have your voter registration, whatever, you're a dual citizen, and you're not eligible to function as a state citizen, as long as you got your voter registration and you're still part of the other system. Let me get to the other part here. Oh, and the other thing is our jural assemblies are unincorporated. So if you're in any jural assembly or any piece of the government it's incorporated, then you're in the de facto. So what this is actually explained right here, that anything that we do is unincorporated. We're not incorporated in any way. So all of our jural assemblies and everything, if we incorporate our jural assembly, then we're not a court for the people. We're no different than the de facto. So we can't do that, and that isn't where we're at. If I can find the other pieces here. It's talking about the unincorporated pieces. Each one of these videos, if you'll notice, the biggest ones, I think, are 20 minutes long. This is 22 minutes. They're not...
For all the jurors.
Most of them are not that. They're only like 15 minutes or so. Like this one's 11 minutes. They don't take up a lot of your time, but you really need to go through them. You need to get the training, and you need to actually learn all of the pieces so that we can actually do this. This is one part of it I didn't like or didn't agree with. This one here basically says if there's... Let me read. Let me play it. Hang on. Let me go back.
them aside and explain that people who disrupt the functioning of the assembly or impede the conduct of business in state general assembly meetings can and will be removed by the marshal at arms.
That piece of it is what the state is actually going on, is if you're disrupting a meeting or whatever, then the marshal at arms has the right to remove you from the meeting. My personal opinion on that is when we give one person that kind of authority, it can get misused or, you know, not represented right. And I believe there should be some kind of recourse or something. You know, I believe that the marshal arms, and then when you go to the county, it would be the sheriff, not the marshal arms. The union state, same thing, would be the, your sheriff in your county would be the person that would keep the quorum in the courts and the general, you know, in the general assembly itself. Anybody gets out of hand or whatever, then, you know, if you're dealing with a county thing, whatever, then the sheriff would step in and say, hey, wait a minute, we can't do this. Give people the chance to, you know, correct themselves and be more, you know, easier to talk to, whatever, you know, like not so disruptive in the meetings or in the courts. So like in the state one, that would be the marshal at arms. That would be the person that would keep the decorum in that court. Some of these things, I don't know, how do you guys feel about giving one person the power to be able to just throw somebody out of something or discipline somebody or whatever? Anybody have questions or thoughts on that? I'm having a hard time hearing you. Can you get closer to your mic?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay, I disagree with having one individual actually trying to control his authority to regulate others. That means we're putting ourselves back into the defective concept. And I believe that's the reason why Anna said to create your committees. And then within those committees, nobody overstepping someone else. It's we all agree in something, you know, let's say four people in our oversight. We discuss what's needed and what is beneficial for the entire assembly. So we all agree upon it, and then we bring it to the assembly without any one individual controlling that committee, unless you have a spokesperson that, like us for the oversight committee, we actually selected one person that will be the spokesperson. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to say, as I disagree with one, is we're going back to the hierarchy style of government. That means we're putting one individual, which is not.
Can I join?
Not beneficial.
Not
beneficial.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello. I totally agree with that on in certain areas for sure. But I think if I'm not mistaken, Rocky was talking about like in a meeting or in a court hearing, that would be somebody that was an elected official or elected person that everybody already has elected into, because you can't have a four-person committee to remove somebody that's being unruly. You need somebody that can act decisively with love and remove the person to a place of safety and to, you know, if that's the case. You know what I mean? So I get what you're saying. I think, but in a different venue, like a court or in a meeting, you have to have one person or a group of people that are part of part of a security apparatus that's already been cleared by everybody to act on their behalf to handle the situation at the moment. Again, you can't have a committee to remove somebody. I don't think that's what you're talking about, sweetie, anyway, but that's just that's my view. I yield.
Oh, no, I wasn't talking. I wasn't referring to that. I was referring to the hierarchy of, you know, like we have you as the sheriff. So we refer to you because I, you know, that's a different department. But I believe what Rocky is saying, he disagrees in having someone to control the entire group, like a marshal at arm. And I believe he's referring to that, if I'm not mistaken, Rocky, that we can't have one marshal arm to strong arm the entire assembly. I agree for what you're saying too, Keith, in that regard. It really depends on the situation. But I don't want a hierarchy in this because we're building a self-governance.
Yeah, but let me explain a little bit. I was talking about two different things at the same time, which I shouldn't have. I should make it more clear. When you have a court or, you know, like in the drill assembly, that kind of thing, you need one person that is the lead into keeping it, in, you know, peaceful, right? And that's what Keith's talking about. So like in the courts for counties would be a sheriff. You know, for the state courts, it would be the marshal at arms. But and then the other side of it, what I was talking about, is like in a meeting like we're having today, I don't believe the marshal at arms or the sheriff should step in the meeting and throw somebody out of a meeting. That I disagree with. Yes. I think it should be. Go ahead.
No, I totally agree with that on that aspect for sure.
Yeah, I think in a meeting like this, or you know, where we're quorumed together, right, is it should be all of the members together to say, hey, wait, stop, and we either vote on it or whatever, say, you know, that person needs to go out, you know, for this meeting or whatever, or they need to stop, right? But as far as a court, you don't have that kind of leeway. You know, you have to take control right away, and I think a sheriff, you know, the sheriff in that is because he is the highest, or one of his deputies that is appointed to that court case, because the sheriff can't be in every case. So he would have his deputies or, you know, a lead person in the court that would try to keep the peace, basically. And that's not really throwing people out. That's trying to calm them down, keep them, you know, on what the case is about or whatever. And if they do become too rolly and whatever, then remove them, right?
Rocky, may I?
Go ahead, Jennifer.
So I believe what you're talking about is a bondsman. Bondsmen are the land counterparts to the bailiffs in the city jurisdiction courts. So the bondsmen are the guys that keep the peace inside the court. I think that, I don't know, I'm just reading here, but bondsman.
Yeah, the bondsman is the one that collects all the money and everything for the court. They're not really the one that keeps the peace.
Well, they maintain the security of the actual courtroom and direct traffic within it.
Right, that's when the court gets started and everything. But once the court is actually running, then it's the deputy or whatever. It could be the bondsman, too, if there's no, you know, deputy or sheriff, because they're higher than the bondsman. Bondsman's more to keep all the records, you know, collect whatever money needs to be collected, keep the peace, you know, like when you first start the court, set people where they need to be set.
Right, right.
You know, make sure everybody's, you know, doing their part in the courtroom. That's part of what the bondsman is. Not budsman, bondsman. Yeah. Bondsman. I get them corrected.
Okay.
Anybody else? Want to comment on that? Okay. As far as the parts of the drill assembly, that's basically what I wanted to talk about on this one. Next time I'll have more bullet points and stuff that we can go over and talk about, but please start reading the book. I sent everybody a link, and I'll send it out in the agenda in the minutes, a link to it again so that you guys can watch it. You can watch it on your phone. You can, you know, anytime you have a few minutes here and there, you know, watch one chapter. It's, you know, they're anywhere from like 10 minutes to 20 minutes a chapter. They go pretty fast. You don't have to do anything but listen. You can actually read with them if you want to. And like I said, I have the book. That's what I'm showing you on the screen right now. The next one of the things I want to talk about too now is, let me get to the meeting thing here. The people that have had issues with the IRS or whatever, this actually came out, and this was actually done by Edgar Jr., Rosa DL. Basically, this is talking about the IRS. And this is one of the things that Anna keeps telling us about on why we're not supposed to be paying taxes. And if you read through this, basically, if you get to the part, let me see here. Okay, the first, basically it was saying that only two of the states rectified this, and it required 36 states to be valid. The effect of this is such, though, that every tax paid into the Treasury since the 1913 is due and refundable to every citizen and business. So this is where they're talking about where you're going to get funded for all your taxes and whatever you paid, is because every cent, I think it was 18, whenever this actually happened, but this actually went out on March the 5th, 1985. And since 1913. So every tax that they've collected since 1913 is really required to pay it back, because it never was ratified for them to be able to take taxes out. And the states, that's what Anna said, because we wasn't in session, we didn't rectify this. And there was only two states that actually agreed on it anyway, which again, you need 36 states out of 50 to agree on it to make it valid. So I put this in the download so you guys can download it. You can have it on your, you know, on your list of stuff that you can send to the IRS to tell them why you don't need to pay taxes. So anybody have any questions about that letter? Yeah, as I find and get more of this kind of information for you guys, because this is actually just proof that why we don't need to pay taxes. And when we send any letters back to the IRS, whatever, it would be good to attach this to it so they understand that, you know, that it wasn't rectified. They should know it too, and that it's illegal for them to do what they're doing. The next thing I wanted to talk about is, I put out there too, this is the, when Anna's talking about the summons that she had to do and whatever, and this is to the International Court of Justice. This is her article that she put out explaining that, what it is that when she went there to talk about, and what her case was basically about. And it listed in 1, 2, 3, whatever. Suggest reading this so that you understand what's going on with it. And then also there's a video that goes along with it. It's on Rumble here. that you can actually listen to her. And she'll actually explain it to you instead of you reading it, if you watch the video. But it explains about the courts, the national courts, and what's going on with that. The one thing I also sent to you guys, because everybody has been asking about the prepaid credit, and Anna actually created a short little video. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay, I sent it to... Here we go. It's on Rumble. It's a quick little thing that she created. And this talks about, right here, where the prepaid credit comes from. Because everybody goes like, where's the money coming from? What, you know, why are we getting it? Whatever, that kind of stuff. If you watch this quick little video, let's see how long it is. It says it in here. It's 18 minutes long. Anyway, if you watch the video, she explains to how when you take a dollar or $20 bill and you go buy something like a Coke or whatever, and then you hand the clerk there the 20 bucks, then he takes the 20 bucks and gives it change to somebody else. Then they use that same $20 for something else, buying something else, and then that person then takes $20 and hands it to somebody else. But each time of those things, that was goods that was give out. And the $20 bill is really a note. It's like an IOU. So then when it ends up happening, say at some point or whatever, that same $20 bill gets, you know, moved around, say 1,000 times. That's, you know, this thousands difference of goods that was used but never was paid for. And all that, the goods that we gave up, we need to get paid back for. And that's what she explains. So I suggest watching that video. I put it in the email when I sent it out to you, a link to it. That's what I just clicked on. So you actually can get to that and see it. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. Does anybody have any questions about the prepaid credit? Okay, I suggest watching it, whatever. She did do a video. We're waiting for Monday. Anna's going to be talking about something else that's important. She was supposed to be on the Thursday night call, but she didn't show up. And she's supposed to have some good news for us. What the good news is, nobody knows. The only one that knows is Lisa Schaefer, and she didn't share anything. So she said wait until Anna talks about it. So Monday will be the next deal. When I send out the minutes, I'll try to send a link out to that Monday night call that she does. You guys can get on it and listen to it firsthand. If not, I will send the link to it afterwards on the next meeting for next Sunday. And you'll be able to watch it and go over whatever it is that she talks about. The last thing that I wanted to talk about is we need to create a budget committee. And let me explain what it is. When we get ready to go live as actual government, whatever, we need to know what it's going to cost us. So, like, if we have to buy a courtroom, if we have to buy furniture, if we need to hire people, what is that budget going to be like? And we need to actually create a budget committee to start coming up with some numbers. Because when the point comes when the Federation or GFG is going to fund the counties and the state, whatever, we have to have some kind of number that we think that we can get started on, or, you know, what our budget would be. So I'd like, you know, if somebody wants to raise their hands and be in the budget committee and start working on what it is that we need. Go ahead, Fiona. You want to talk?
I would like to do that.
Okay.
Or be a part of that.
You want to be a part of that one? Okay.
Yes.
Anybody else? Yeah, what we need to do is just sit down and figure out what it is it's going to take. You know, what are we going to pay people? You know, if we're going to pay them in AFDs, or are we going to pay them in FRNs? You know, and if depending on what kind of currency we're going to pay them in, what is that amount going to be? You know, are we going to pay, you know, if you're doing AFRNs, are we going to pay them $100,000 a year? Are we going to pay them more or less? You know what I'm saying? And figure out, like, if we need 100 people, how much is that going to cost us? That's our budget, right? And, you know, if whatever else that we think we need, you know, we need courtrooms, we need cars for the, you know, our sheriff and his deputies, we need, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that we can talk about and we need, but we need to get the committee started and start coming up with some kind of budget. So anybody that wants to work with Bonna on that would be great. You know, as many people will get in, because we get enough heads that would know different areas. It's even like our courts, you know, for our software, our hardware, our computers, what computers are need in the courtroom or need in our offices or need whatever. I mean, we need to come up with some kind of overall budget and what it would be and how much we'd pay for each thing or what, you know, like, say a computer, we can figure $3,000 a computer or something, you know what I'm saying? And then figure out how many of those that we need in which offices, the courtroom, you know, whatever. And kind of lay out what we think that it's going to take to actually run a government, you know, as far as budget-wise, right? So, Diana, thank you for standing up on that one. And if anybody else, you know, let me know. I'll get you in contact with her. And you guys can all work together and come up with some kind of budget. And we can go over it.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a statement as far as I'll try to have something like at least an estimate and building a graph of, you know, positions, and it's just basic infrastructure. So I'll try to have something by next meeting.
Okay. Yeah, that would get us started on what we're budgeting for. You know, it's like our infrastructure, our committees, our whatever, and what kind of funding they would need. You know, it's like I said, our sheriff's department, our general assembly, our, you know, our different committees that we need, you know, that, and what it would take to do those. You know, like the recording secretary committee, what kind of budget would they need, you know, to help run that? Just kind of go over our list of all of our committees, whatever. Jennifer came up with a great list of all of them and descriptions of them, and we can actually even use that as some kind of a ideal, you know what I'm saying, of building a budget. Anybody else want to say anything about that? Okay, but all I had to talk about today, does anybody have anything else that they want to input or add to the agenda here?
Yes, Rocky, I would like to add what I came up with the natural resources. We found out that there is a company that is actually violating and spilling chemicals into our water. So we came up with a letter that I'm going to send it to you, to send it out to everybody else if they want to submit that letter and noticing these agencies. And we'll also give you a list of the people to send it to.
Okay. Is that in Clark County or in the state?
Clark County. Clark County.
It's in Clark County. So what we need to do, P2, is get the letter built or whatever. In next meeting, we'll bring it up in the meeting, and we'll get a vote on it. If everybody agrees to what it says, whatever, and then we'll send it out to all the people to stop, you know, poisoning our water.
It's a cease and desist, the letter. So I'll send that out to you, and then you can bring it up next week.
I will do that.
Okay. Thank you. I yield.
Anybody else?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you're just real faint, but we can hear you.
Sorry, it's my headphones. Where can I find that information?
On what?
About the company that's spilling the water or spilling the chemicals in the water, so I can read up on that.
I'll send the information out to Rocky and the name of the company
and
what they're in violation with. You're welcome. Bye.
Okay, and I'll get it out to everybody.
Nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Rocky, it's Tamara.
Go ahead.
I just want to make sure that everybody understands with the juror assembly videos that it's really critical. I mean, I know you've said for us to watch the videos, but I think we need to, there's 60 videos total, and I think we need to split it up so every week we can move forward and actually, same time as we're watching the video, when we come back, for example, if we do this week, chapter 1 through 10, and then come back on Sunday, we know exactly what's happening so that we can follow up with the committees the exact same time as we're doing the juror assembly, the charts, and the videos. So we together we can learn who is what where, and also we know exactly, you know, what who is in what committee, and we can learn together because it's very necessary for all of us to know the positions, what it entails, who the person is, and if we have any questions, together we can answer right away instead of going through all the videos and then we have to go back again and then redo everything. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be good to what I'll do is for the next meeting, because I wasn't prepared as much this meeting, is I'll watch the first 10. So the next meeting, we'll go over the first 10 again. And in that first 10, it talks about the different positions that we need, or officers, and who they are, what they need to be for that court.
Yeah, because right now I feel like we're going back and forth with the committees. I think we need to let it be and then go with the chapters and then not focus on the rest, because we're just going back and forth. I'm so sorry to say this. I just feel like we're going back and forth and we're not moving forward. So if we go together with the chapters, we get everything done at the same time. Everybody's on the same page and then we understand and then we move to the next chapter instead of, you know, thinking about this position, that position and all that. I just think we should follow the book and just together move forward.
Okay. Does everybody agree?
I concurred.
I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
I agree.
One last thing that I actually wanted to bring up is on a prior meeting and on the coordinator call, Denise brought up about voting on committees and all that kind of stuff. And because this actually ties into the Jural Assembly and our officers and whatever, okay? So there's two ways that we get people into different things, okay? So we have what we call general committees, and those are ones like I just talked about, like the budget committee, or we created the resource committee. On those committees, there's no voting. Basically, somebody stands up to help run it, and then we get as many people into those committees as they can. They just can go in and start helping. There's no voting. And that's what Denise was talking about, is those committees, we stand them up, people fill them, try to solve whatever problem it is that the assembly needs to solve, and then go on. So there's not going to be any voting on those kind of committees. But when we start talking about officers, our elected officials, that's a different story, and those are committees too. Like we have the sheriff committee, you know, the sheriff's office or whatever. That's an elected official office, and the running all of that. That part of it is the sheriff has to be elected as the person in that position, needs to be vetted, and then anybody that's in that committee or in that role is in the sheriff's office would have to be voted on. You know, and normally, like the deputies, whatever, they're voted on, or they're assigned by the sheriff, not by the assembly. Okay, so there's different committees that handle different ways. But when you get into like the banking committee, again, the treasurer, the person of the bank, that person would be voted on, it'd be vetted, and then anybody in the banking would then be voted on too, and vetted that they could be in the banking committee. So there's different layers of what you consider committees, or, you know, it's, if you look at it as officers and then committees. Anybody that's running our government is an officer. Anybody that's in just a committee, like trying to solve a problem, you know, like the budget committee or the resource committee or, you know, whatever committee we come up with. Those ones, the assembly says, hey, we need a committee for this. We vote on creating that committee or not, and then people just raise their hand and go into it, right? There's no voting for the people in it. You know, it's just like today, Bonna stood up and said she wants to do the budget. She just walked into it. No voting for her, whatever. She's going to be the lead on it right now until we can get other people in that committee with her. But you're just going to stand up and start helping. And that's how we run our government, is we can't vote on everything or we'll never get anything done. And there's certain things that Anna said that we need to do as far as, you know, when we create our committees or whatever, you know, just let people stand up and do it. You know, it's supposed to be organic. It just, we're supposed to be able to self-govern. We stand up and do it. Any questions on that?
No, but I just wanted to reiterate of my willingness to do this. Mm-hmm. It also includes into my background as far as forensics accounting. So I'm here for you guys. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for standing up. Yeah, it's just, we actually need to, you know, that's what the self-governance part is we stand up and we have backgrounds in different things. And if we can use that background into helping us in these committees, yeah, please stand up and get in there and help out. Okay, with that said, unless anybody else has anything else to say, I'm pretty much done. Do I hear an adjourn?
Yes, I bring the motion to adjourn.
Second it?
I second.
Okay. Everybody say aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you everybody for showing up. We'll see you next Sunday at 5.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for being here.